verses 1 through 4.
That's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4.
This is Jesus speaking to his disciples and us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know.
Brothers and sisters, we have had a marvelous gospel meeting here, and the message that Todd Parsley has shared with us since, last Friday night when he did the teacher's banquet has been, and all through the following days, has been marvelous. His focus has been on a living faith, and we can see that faith expressed in his life of service to the Lord. He's currently the minister at Centerville Church of Christ, having been there for about a year, 17 years before that at Ironton, Ohio, and having taught numerous gospel meetings pretty much in any state within about 50 miles or 100 miles of here. We are very pleased that he has taken an opportunity once again to come and share with us. He's a graduate of David Lipscomb College. He's very involved with the folks at Fort Hill, being both on the Board of Trustees and also co-managing a week every summer. His beautiful wife, Renee, has been with him up until tonight. Next time you come back, bring Renee again, please. Okay. Renee has been a real joy for us all to talk with. The lessons that we've gotten so far is a living faith and in a living God, a living faith and a living Word, a living faith in our worship, a living faith in our love. Now, I want to mention on a living faith in our worship, when I told my dad about it, because I've been kind of giving him a report on how the meeting's going, I told him my favorite quote was a quote from Todd where he said, "We don't have a Burger King kind of worship. You don't get to do it, to have it your way. Our worship, we're going to have God's way." And that really exemplifies what he's been talking about. Tonight, he's going to talk to us about something that has no beginning and no end, because we're right in the middle of eternity, with forever behind us and forever in front of us. And tonight, to tell us about our living faith and eternity is our brother Todd Parsley.
Good evening once again. As I look out over the audience, it's good to see many faces that have been here each night. I appreciate your love for the Lord. I appreciate your love for this congregation, and I appreciate the seriousness in which you take your own soul and your own salvation. I don't know where to begin tonight to express to you my sincere appreciation for what you have meant to me this week. I appreciate all of the kind words and the kind compliments expressed toward me and to my wife Renee, and she sends her apologies tonight. She came home from work and was feeling under the weather. You travel a lot as a minister, and you get the opportunity to come in contact with a lot of different people and a lot of very different congregations. And some places you go, Brother Scott, you just know when you leave there that you've been in the presence of some very special people. And brethren, I don't say that everywhere I go. This is not a carbon greeting of goodbye of the last night of the gospel meeting. I only say that when it's true. And I feel like this week that I have been in the presence of some very special people. And I thank you for your love. I thank you for your friendship. I ask you now, and I'll say this now, and I won't say anything about it at the end. I ask you for your prayers. for me as a minister of the gospel that God will continue to be with me, to strengthen me, to give me the wisdom and the courage that I need to ever proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will be in my prayers. From this day forward, our relationship will grow stronger. That it won't be a once-a-year thing or a once-every-few-year thing, but that now we know each other a little bit better, I will be around. I can't wait to get Brother Scott at Centerville. Brethren, I know you know this, but I want to remind you again, you have a great gospel preacher and a great man in Brother Scott. And you, as a congregation, speaking from our side of it, you do everything in your power to keep that man here, whatever it takes. Because, brethren, good, sound gospel preachers are getting harder and harder to find. You've got a great one. You know that. I've gotten to know him a little bit better this week. I've heard of him for years. He and I sort of come from the same part of the world. We know we rub elbows with some of the good folks, salt of the earth folks. You know what you have there. Tonight, I want us to take the barriers down. And what I mean by that is, yes, I want our worship to be in spirit and in truth. But I want us tonight, as we close this gospel meeting, and really, I can't believe it's already Wednesday night. Any interest in going through Friday? You know, I'd love to do that. Tonight, I want us to take the formalities of what worship normally seems to bring out in us, in that you have to set up straight, and you can't move, and you can't flinch, and you can't breathe, and you can't think, and you can't offer anything. Tonight, I want us to take those barriers down because I want you to hear what I've got to say. Not that you haven't heard all week, and I appreciate the amen, but we're going to talk tonight about a most valuable subject. And we're going to talk about a subject tonight that when I sat in my office today, and it seems like any time I get ready to preach a lesson on the idea of eternity, it brings me to tears. And it brings me to tears for a lot of reasons. And I want to share with you tonight just a few of those as an introductory comment, and then we'll get into the Bible, and we'll make some practical application, and we'll bring out the Bible so that you'll leave here tonight without hopefully any question of wondering about eternity. But when I think about eternity, there are things that bring great joy to my heart. And when you think about eternity, there are two choices when it comes to eternity, brethren, and you need to hear these. Don't believe the world. Don't buy into an idea that even after this life, there's another chance for you, because there's not. When you take your last breath, you take your last step, you live your last day, when that funeral home is full for that last time for you, when they load that casket in the back of that hearse and they carry you to the cemetery, when they lower that coffin down into that grave and those clumps of dirt begin piling in on top of it and the last tear is cried and they walk away, it's too late for you if you leave this life unprepared to meet God. Think about those things. Because as you all know, death is no respecter of persons. I've experienced it in my life, and you've experienced it in yours. As a preacher, I'd like to tell you that the only funerals I've ever preached are those of people that lived to be 100 years old. Lived full, happy, faithful Christian lives, but we all know that's not true. Brethren, I've preached funerals of babies. I've preached funerals of 7-year-old little girls. I've preached funerals of 12-year-old a 12-year-old beautiful little boy. And I preach funerals of 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 80-year-olds. You get the point, don't you? Here's the point. You look around you tonight. I've had you do that a couple of times, and you all still just look at me. I don't know why that is, but, you know. I want you to look around right now who's in this building. Do you know that the chances are 80% and higher that somebody that's in this assembly tonight will not be in this world a year from now? Who is it? Which one of you? You see, we just don't know, do we? That's why it's important to have the matter of eternity there in the forefront of our mind. When I think about eternity and I prepare lessons for eternity, it brings great joy to my mind because there are things about eternity that I cannot wait to take part of. There are things that are promised us in Scripture that we're going to look at here in just a moment that absolutely just thrill my soul. That I can't wait to be there and to be a part of that. To be in the presence of the Almighty God throughout eternity. Eternity described as forever to forever. Great way to put it. One author put it like this. To try to describe how long eternity would be is that if you would take a bird and you would fly that bird to the coast of California and you would have him pick up one grain of sand, put that grain of sand in his little beak and fly him all the way to Florida and deposit that grain of sand, have him fly all the way back, get another one. That's eternity. But even that's not right. Because eternity has no definition of time as we know it. How many of you here tonight want to go to heaven? Really? Do you really want to go to heaven? Is it the number one thing in your life tonight that you want to be in heaven and you're going to do anything in your power to live your life so that nobody can take that away from you? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody raised their hand in here. Now let me ask you this. How many of you are going to heaven? The sad part of that is not everybody raised their hand on the second one. What are you waiting for? What are you putting in place of that commitment that it takes to make sure that you can answer that question, yes, I'm going to heaven. If you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, have your sins washed by His precious sacrifice of His blood, if you're living to the best of your ability a faithful Christian life, you can answer that question with an assured yes, I'm going to heaven. And for those of you who didn't raise your hand or you're uncertain about whether or not you're going to make it to heaven, you need to respond to the invitation tonight. You need to make things right in your life. You need to have a conversation with the eldership here. You need to have a conversation with Brother Scott so that we can find out what can we do to encourage you to make your life easier, your life better in such a way to where you know where you're going. Brother, this may be the most important thing we've talked about all week long. A living faith that believes in an eternity with God forever, or on the other side of that, you can burn in hell for an eternity with the devil and his angels. The choice is yours tonight. I can't make the choice for you. Let me introduce to you, and you look on the back wall. Everybody look on the back wall. Guess what's gone? I better get a drink. I'm going to finish tonight, brother. I'm going to finish. I'm either going to get finished, lose my voice, or you're all going to put me out the back door. One or the other is going to happen tonight. Let me introduce to you some special people in my life. And you'll understand what I'm talking about when I prepare lessons about eternity. One of the great things about the Bible and thinking about eternity is the idea of being with God. being with our Savior Jesus Christ, sharing that great thrill of that place that Brother Dale read for us in John chapter 14, that He is there preparing for us for this very day. Another thing that I think that I cannot wait to do is to be reunited with folks that I know are going to be there. And it also brings to mind of folks that I know aren't going to be there. My dad's mother, my grandmother, I was her favorite grandchild. And I can tell you that, and I can prove that, because she lived on the top of the street that we lived on. And every day that I got off the school bus, we would walk by my grandmother's house. I called her Granny. And every day, there stood my grandmother in the front door of her house, holding a piece of chocolate cake and the coldest glass of milk you could ever want. You know, cake and milk just go together. I've had plenty of it. And I would get my cake and ice cream. My sister walking, my cake and milk, my sister walking beside me had to beg for a piece. You see, I was her favorite. I loved my grandmother with all my heart. I preached her funeral. The single hardest funeral I have ever preached in my life. And you want to know why? Because she left this world and she gave us no hope for her in eternity. Because she never wanted to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I begged her. I begged her, Granny, please. She got very sick, sitting in her hospital room, and there, Dad on one side and me on the other, and the rest of the family out in the hallway. And, Granny, please, time is getting short. I'll be all right. Don't worry about me. Bill, you may remember this story I've told. The day that my grandmother died, she called the family in, and we go to the hospital, and she's conscious there in the morning just for a little bit. We had the chance to talk, and basically, she knew she was going, I knew she was going, and we reminisced a little bit, and we talked about that cake and ice cream, that cake and that cold milk. And then she became unconscious. That lingered for about 5 or 6 hours. The family had gone downstairs to eat, and there I sat by her bed holding her hand. Folks, I believe everything in the Bible is for a reason. And I believe God works in His way. And I believe in the moment of death, there is to some people a realization of life. As my grandmother's breathing became so very shallow, I just prayed. I prayed for me, basically, because it was too late for her. And I'll never forget, as my grandmother took her last breath, she sat up in the bed and she said, "Oh my God." And she died. And I don't know about you, but her cries for help were not heard. So when I talk about eternity, it hurts. It hurts. Don't put your family in that position. Brethren, death is hard enough. On the flip side of that, I have my grandmother on my mother's side who was a devout Christian woman. And the day that she died, we considered it a blessing. She had been suffering. And we knew that death was going to be a blessing for her. because she was going to do as the Bible would say, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, yet says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Blessed in the eyes of God are the death of His saints. Two different people, two different funerals. I love them both the same. One was of great comfort, and the other one, it's been 12 years, and it still breaks my heart. Because I know I'll never see her again. So I ask you again, are you going to heaven? Eternity's real. And a living faith and a living God and a living Word and a living faith in what we do in our worship and a living faith that affects our love that we have for our family and our brethren are all things that affect us going into eternity. Brethren, there sits God in heaven. He sent His Son down to this earth to die for each and every one of us, and He did it because He loved us. That our sins grieve God, that we break His heart when we're unfaithful. He wants us all to be in heaven, but yet the reality is it's not going to happen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, again the Bible says, and this is eternal life, that they may know You, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You sent. I declare to you tonight the fact of the Scripture, there is an eternity. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11 says, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life. And this life in His Son. You see, whether you're here tonight as a Christian or not a Christian, whether you're here tonight as a faithful child of God or an unfaithful child of God, every human being that has ever lived has been promised eternal life. It's either an eternity with God in heaven or it's an eternity with the devil and his angels in hell. The choice tonight is yours. And as we bring this meeting, these lessons to a close, I want us to tear those barriers down. I want you to break that wall that surrounds your heart down. And I want you to allow yourself to hear what God is saying to you. And that is, I want you to come home to Me. I can remember going away to college and what a very traumatic thing that was for me. I was a mama's boy. My mama did everything for me. And I can remember being gone 5 days. 6 hours away, 5 days, I picked up the phone and I called my mama and I said, I'm coming home. And she said, son, come on. Come on. And I can remember the joy in my heart as I pulled into that driveway. And there stood my mama. Now the rest of that story is, this is the last time you're coming home. Get your butt back to school. The point I want to make is, you know how good it feels to go home? You've worked hard all day, you're tired and you're weary. You've had a rough day and you go home. And we know how good it feels. Brethren, that's heaven. That's heaven. I've got a little brother that's in heaven. He died when he was 16 months old. Went to the doctor and he had pneumonia. And back then they didn't really know a whole lot about pneumonia. So they cut a trach, put a tube in his throat. And he had that for about 6 weeks. And Mama took him back to the doctor. And the doctor was holding him. And they checked him and said, well, I think he's okay. I think we need to take this trach out of his throat, and I think he's going to be fine. And instead of going to the hospital, the doctor thought he could do it there in the office. And there, as my mother held my brother, the doctor removed that trach, and instantly it closed up. And there was fluid there from that pneumonia, and it had closed his throat, and there he died in my mother's arms. You see, that's a horrible story, but it makes motivation for me because I want to see him again. And I know I will in heaven. to be in heaven with people like Scott Spitzer. Yes, God. Bill Stevens. Archie Collins. You want to go with me yet? Anybody want to go with me? What you do with Jesus tonight, listen to me, brethren. What you do with Jesus tonight will determine where you'll be in eternity. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are you going to open and let Him in? Living faith that believes in eternity. Turn back with me, if you will, to the scripture reading that we read there in John chapter 14. I want us to look at it again. It is one of my most favorite scriptures in the Bible. When I'm having a bad day, I turn my Bible and I read John chapter 14, verse 1 through 4. I read this at funerals of Christians. It absolutely almost destroyed me from preaching when I couldn't read this at my grandmother's funeral. My grandmother and my grandmother's family decided that when she died that I was going to do the majority of the funeral, and they were going to bring this guy in that was a part of the family. I don't know what he was, 14th cousin down, removed 14 times. That he was going to have his part in the service, and that was fine, I guess, with them. And I got up, and brethren, I'm telling you what I did. I talked about my grandmother. I talked about some of her good qualities. But I didn't hold anything back. And I told them like this. I said, my grandmother today reminds me of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And that today she's not Lazarus, she's the rich man. And I said, if my grandmother could talk to us right now and tell us all one more thing, she would tell us, you better obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you better live a faithful life, or you're going to be where I am. And that's the reality, folks. It breaks my heart to say it, but it's the truth. And I don't have the right, by my God and through His Word, to change it to try to make everybody feel better. When I sat down, this other guy got up, and I knew before I went in that he was from a denominational group. And he got up at my grandmother's funeral and went and looked at me. And he said these words. If your grandmother could talk to us now, she wouldn't. Because she's in heaven. Because we know that she had a belief, at least, that there is a God. What do? Do you start a debate at your grandmother's funeral? No, you don't. I decided then that I was not going to make funerals a place for that. But let me tell you where I decided to do it. Right here, right now, in this opportunity, because today is the day of salvation. And if you're here tonight, you will not be able to walk through those double doors and out those two sets of doors into the parking lot with any excuse other than I choose not to obey the gospel. I don't know what's standing in your way. I don't know what wall is there. I don't know what heartache you're going through. I don't know what tragedy you've been through. I don't know what's holding you back. But you will not be able to use this meeting as an excuse not to obey the gospel. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Brother, my greatest accomplishment are my three kids. Let me tell you what, I've messed up some things in my life. My greatest accomplishment are my three kids. And I love them. I know many of you love your kids. Grandpa here loves those grandbabies. When God blessed us with three kids, my wife and I made a commitment that we're going to do the best that we could to live our lives in such a way that they would grow up to know the Lord. Not that we would stand over them and preach to them, but that they would see it from us in our life. And the greatest thing that I think I've ever done in this life is I've baptized all three of my kids. Two of them on the same day in the swimming pool at 40. And let me tell you what, when the last one was baptized, I went to bed that night and I prayed to my God and I thanked Him. And then I said, as Paul would say, "Oh Lord, come." Because I don't want the world to get them. You've got them right now. Just come. Just go ahead and come now. And I know where they're going, and we'll be there forever. You know how I feel? You understand what I'm saying? I'm sorry I get emotional about things like that, but brethren, we need to take the barriers down. We need a little emotion in the church. When you talk about loving a brother or sister in Christ, it's emotional love. It's sincere care for each other to where when they hurt, you hurt. Take it beyond your family. Go into the church and love people that way. Love them that kind of affection and that kind of desire to want to serve them and to sacrifice for them and to be there for them. And this church will grow and it'll prosper and you will heal and you'll be stronger than you've ever been before. And the wedge that was drawn or that was placed in the middle will never happen again, because your love for each other and your love for God will never let it happen ever again. That's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be a child of God. That's what the Bible, that's what God was trying to get us to understand when He said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Brethren, we've got to start feeding each other and stop starving each other to death for affection and love and support. John chapter 14, Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's been with them. He's taught them the things that they need to know. He's prepared them for their mission to take the gospel to all of the world. And they did it in their time. They didn't have iPod. They didn't have email. They didn't have iPhone. They had word of mouth, and it was spread to the known world just simply because of their passion and their desire to take that message to the lost world. He's getting ready to leave, and He knows they're going to be disheartened. And He tells them there in verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Brethren, don't worry. That's what He's saying. Don't worry. You believe in God, believe also in me. Oh, what a thought. You believe in the living God, you believe also in me. We've been together. You've seen me die. You've seen it all. You know what's going to happen. You know you're going to win because of your living faith. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Man, that's beautiful. If that can't get you excited, maybe nothing can. Maybe I need to be preaching to the wall. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." That right there tells me He loves me and He wants me to be there. I'm not an unwanted guest. I'm a treasured family member. "And the way I go, where I go, you know. And the way you know." And He says there in verse 6, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Brethren, we sing the invitation song a little bit later to encourage you to come to Jesus. to confess with your heart and your mouth that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. To repent of the wrong that's in your life, to be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism, to be immersed. Not anything else, not any other kind of substitution, but to be immersed. That's the biblical way. That's not what the elders here decided was right. That's not what some convention somewhere voted on that was right. That's what's been from the Bible from the beginning of the New Testament that we have. When Jesus stood up and preached on the day of Pentecost, that settled it right there. And there shouldn't be any other question to have our sins washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's like the song says. This earth is not my home, because my treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me. How's the rest of that go? And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You see, because we need in the church, members of the Lord's church spending more time in the Word of God. See, we've got the little ones saying it. Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. To go to heaven, brethren, you must desire it. It's safe to say there are going to be some people in hell that didn't intend to go there. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, many will say to me on that day, they were confused. We did this, we did that, we prophesied, we taught, but you know what? You didn't teach according to the pattern. And Jesus said, I'll declare unto you, ye cursed, depart from me, I never knew you. I don't want to hear those words. You must desire it. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23 and verse 24, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Because you see, Paul was a lot like Rene's grandfather. That when he was on his deathbed, he wanted to stay because he was worried about what was going to happen to the church. And those are the men that serve this congregation as elders. They want to stay here because they're worried about the church. But don't you know they want to go home? Don't you know they want to go home? Christian, are you tired tonight? Do you want to go home? Jesus is calling you. Tenderly calling you. And brethren, don't think for a moment that bothers me. That is music to my ears. Children being brought up in the church. It's encouraging. We've already said, according to John and according to Matthew and according to Proverbs, there's just one way to God. The last thing that I want you to consider with me tonight is this. The way home is not hard. It's simple. It's simple. You got to step out of yourself. You got to step into Christ and expect to step into heaven. I stand before you tonight, brethren, humbled. Humbled at your love, humbled at your service, and humbled at your commitment to God. You see, gospel meetings are growing rapidly, a thing of the past. I remembered they used to be 2-week-long meetings, month-long meetings. The longest meeting I've ever done was Sunday through Friday. And I enjoyed it. And now I get calls, I'm sure Scott, you do too as well. They call now for meetings and they want you to come on Friday. and preach Friday night and Saturday and one lesson on Sunday, and then they're done. You know what my response to that is now? No, I won't go do them. You say, well, that's kind of, I just won't. I mean, are we still trying to reduce God down to a level that we can do as minimum as we think we can and still get to heaven? It's a shame. It is. I want you tonight, as we close this meeting, make me a promise that from this day forward, when we sing this invitation song, that you're going to live for God to the best of your ability. You're going to be a worker in the kingdom of God. You're going to be a worker in this church. You're going to love each other unconditionally. You're going to support each other unconditionally. And you're going to work like you've never worked before. And when I come back, whenever I get to come back, that this place is so full you had to knock it down and build a bigger place. Do you doubt me? It can be done. It can be done. I want to go to heaven. I don't know how to say it any better, brother. My heart's desire is I want to go to heaven. And if it wasn't for the fact that, sort of like Paul, I'm torn about going, it'd be all right for me to go tonight. Because I'm ready to go home. And I'm tired. I'm tired. And my rest is waiting. That sweet rest, that sweet, happy rest is waiting for you as well. As we sing this invitation song, listen to the invitation that Jesus gave. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come home. Come home. That's his everything.